And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 55. Avengers. Yeah, a little echo there. Avengers versus X-Men Battle Report number 5. I am Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Gerard.
I am Murray Fox.
And it has been a long time since we've done one of these. We're going to be covering 7 through 10.
See, I think it's real quick. I think it's cool that we can actually say, in regards to anything, it was a long time ago that we talked about something.
Yeah, it's been about 2 months.
It's kind of a trip just that it can legitimately say that. And it's nice.
Yeah, that is cool.
2 months.
So, let's see. At last we left our weary bunch of just, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, those crazy kids in the Marvel Universe. they did a throwdown on the moon, is what they did. And Tony pulled out this big Robotech thing and hit the Phoenix Force, and it shattered it and put it into 5 mutants: Cyclops, Namor, Colossus, Elenia, and Emma Frost. And I believe we were talking on Facebook why those 5. Actually, we talked about that last episode. That's why I remember it, because I listened to it again today.
Now, was that in number 6 or was that in number 5?
Number 6. I take that back. Number 5 was when it at the end of it, and number 6 is when they changed the world.
Yeah, they do all the good things.
Yes. So, I don't want to read that. Downloads. 1 second.
I don't want to read that. Oh, yeah.
No, he's talking about issue 8.
Yeah, we're talking about issue number 7, the infinite one. All right, so we're starting out with number 7. Catch up. Week 14, and a little synopsis from Newsarama, TM copyright, and all that good stuff. Let's see, Wolverine and X-Men number 12. Jason Aaron and Chris Bacalo present a Rachel Gray-centric issue. Even though she was one of the first Jean Grey school mutants to support Cyclops over Wolverine during AVX, she's definitely struggling with her decision here, and in fact straight up lies to Cyclops about letting Hope get away. Aaron also continues to show his knack for big AVX versus fights. As seen in Avengers vs. X-Men number 2, Click Gladiator punching Giant Man in the eyeball, Beast straight up shooting Iceman in the face, and Angel showing some newly discovered abilities against War Machine. Okay, X-Men Legacy number 269, like the recent AVX versus battles. This one definitely have a clear winner, and it's Rogue, thanks to some borrowed powers from Iceman. Rachel appears to be, she might also be having some second thoughts about the Phoenix 5, which I believe, and you did call this, Caleb, in our last episode, that the mutants would be seeing the stuff that they're doing and change their mind, so good on you.
Hey, yes, well.
See, one of the bigger questions, what's the Green Jean Grey School facility going to look like after everything, all that stuff? It would be surprising to see Iceman and Beast down in coffee and teacher's lounge after this, but hey, they've already been through a lot. Although he did start eating Iceman's ice duplicates, which could prove difficult to move past. Interesting.
Gross.
Yeah. Speaking of Beast, went from walking out on the Avengers last week in Avengers versus X-Men, respectively, on here, fighting with them in Wolverine and the X-Men number 12. Tom Briefort addressed the matter of his Formspring account, saying a pretty important thing happened between those two events. Cyclops declared no more Avengers and tasked X-Men to hunt them down. This changes the situation. Talking about AVX. Okay, here we go, kicking in. Avengers versus X-Men number 7. We could go through that. You want to go through it, or you just want the synopsis?
Oh, there's again. This is a copial art, and it is absolutely drop dead gorgeous to look at.
Mm-hmm. It is beautiful.
And this had a Matt Fraction script too, which put it, you know, in regards to the various scripting rotating chores, which I'm still not seeing a pattern there, but that's okay. That's okay. I mean, his have been some of the stronger issues. As noted before we started the show, none of us actually remembered reading this issue, but I do remember moments from this issue, and most of them centered around the ones that still pop in my head, centered around Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Fraction writes a really good Tony Stark. I don't say bar none, but he definitely knows the character, and the whole idea of him just sort of he's not Iron Man in this issue. He's Tony Stark. I mean it's one of those distinctions between the Iron and the Man.
Yeah, there is some
Iron, but he's writing the characters as opposed to the uniforms. Does that make sense?
Yep.
This was the issue where Stark and Black Panther had a couple of exchanges, right? Like was this? Did he slap him? Is this the one where Panther slapped him?
Yes, he did.
Awesome. Did? Yeah. See, I didn't get to that point right before. Oh, yep, there it is.
Yeah, it's the rival share slap in Moonstruck.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, and for good reason. I mean, actually, that was a great scene on a lot of levels. Like, I liked that Tony was kind of all self-sacrificey and,
yeah,
oh, this is all my fault, so I'll fix it. And if I die, well, that's the price I'll have to pay. And then, yeah, you're right. It was a Moonstruck or a Moon. What was it? What's that movie?
Moonstruck.
Moonstruck. It was totally a snap out of it moment where he's like, Panther backhands him and you don't get the luxury of being all sucky face right now.
I was basically saying you can't figure it out, so you don't get to die to escape trying to find a solution.
Yeah. Exactly. It was
science is failing us. We need to look into the between super science and magic, the realm of the spirit. Yeah, that was I missed that.
And then Stark's all kill me now.
I love that. And Quapel
got, because he hates magic. Yeah.
Yeah. He got the facial expression just perfectly.
Yeah, he did.
It was awesome. Awesome.
And then, of course, they resort to magic. So.
Yeah, they use an illusion to make at least one person on their team seem like they're Scarlet Witch. And the Phoenix Five is scared shitless of her.
I kind of like that too. Like, I like that she's, the mutants see her as some sort of scary demon creature, you know, as they would, because.
Yeah, with a word, she still, you know, almost wiped them all out.
I know, I love the way Fraction wrote that. She wiped us out with a sentence fragment.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's the English teacher in me loving that.
I thought that was pretty cool. That part I remembered.
Yeah, no, again, the Fraction's issues, again, they've been stronger. The dialogue is strong. I mean, and it's not that dialogue for the sake of dialogue like Bendis writes.
Yeah.
Look, I can write a lot of words and make them sound clever.
So, let's see. The X-Men are taking prisoners. Each of the Phoenix Five shows up with some mutants to attack different Avengers. Each one of them has Scarlet Witch lookalike, and well, of course, one of them has the real thing. She's the one that blasts Namor, and I like how she just gets close and just touches him, and he just like goes back to Utopia. That was like really freaking cool. Like broke apart into pieces.
Yep.
And so then they're all back, and you know, they're arguing. Namor once more ass kicking, which, you know, it's obvious. He's all butch because of that outfit he's got on. He's practically, you know, showing his, that's got to be what it is. It's some kind of, you know, weird dominatrix kind of thing going on. And he does have wings on his feet, so.
I guess, yeah.
Ankles. So anyway.
So I liked that at this point in the story, it's still kind of ambivalent, like even though Cyclops is saying no more Avengers, he's not meaning, I mean, at least it read to me that he wasn't saying kill them, gut them.
Oh, no, no.
He's just saying, take them off the board. No more Avengers. They're not getting in our way. Yep. We're going to remove them and hide them away for a little while we go save the world. And that's kind of an – I can get behind that. I can totally see his point of view.
And the thing that you start seeing, though, is the Phoenix Forces showing each one of them's true nature. And Namor is an arrogant tyrant. Emma is bad.
Yeah, see that I can live with. Like if the Phoenix Force is kind of amplifying their personality, mm-hmm. I think that's interesting. So Namor acting like more Namor is kind of cool, and Emma Frost acting like a bigger version of Emma Frost, mm-hmm. I can get behind that. That to me is a more interesting story than just the Phoenix Force is corrupting them.
Yeah, yeah, and then,
at this point in the story, we don't. The Avengers think that the Phoenix Force is corrupting them, but we haven't seen any evidence of it, and I liked that. I liked that it was, is it? Is it not? At this point in the story, I'm still, the X-Men have a point. They're totally reshaping the world. They're saving the world. How is that a bad thing? How can the Avengers possibly stand there and go and shake their fingers at them when they're solving world hunger and bringing peace everywhere and at this point, the Avengers have nothing to stand on, but we're supposed to side with them, I think.
Yeah.
They
make it obvious here coming up.
This is one of those times where if you look back at the Dark Phoenix saga or even the issues leading up to that, you can see Jean Grey is slowly like, okay, she's still part of the team, and then she does something that's super, super, it's alpha level mutant thing or Phoenix level thing, and she's like, okay, I can justify that because that person was doing a bad thing. And she did that to Mastermind. And it's sort of like, okay, I can justify it. And you think, well, of course she can justify it. He was mind raping her. He was going to, he was treating her like a puppet. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. And that's kind of where I think if we look at the evolution here of these five characters or of the personalities of these five characters – or as it gets down to two characters in the latest issues, but spoiler, it's the same progression. It's almost the same pacing.
Yeah, see, I'm gonna have to go and read the Dark Phoenix story.
I got the trade.
No, I don't even have that. I think I have like a what if.
Mm-hmm.
A what if Jean had lived,
right?
Version, and I see like the and I think how did they do it? I think they kind of reprinted the issue where she sacrificed herself, and then they changed the story from that point on or something. Mm-hmm. But I've never read the whole story. I really should.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's really good.
Mm-hmm. But you'll see when you do, and actually not a bad. Not a bad thing to do if you get a free couple minutes during your sabbatical.
Which is rapidly ending.
I just wanted to say that, I saw those pictures you posted on Facebook, and you're turning Facebook into Canadian fashion review there.
I will be the best dressed, saddest teacher in the, in the fall.
That's so funny.
My sympathy level is absolutely non-existent.
Yeah, it is. It's really low. Very low.
Mine is non-existent. Mine.
I have become used to being a slacker. I have found my calling. And to have to give that up and go back into the working world is killing me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I can understand.
I'm sure you're all bleeding tears. But
yes, I'm going on vacation soon, so I'll be doing that very thing.
The company I work for gives us every 5 years we get a 1 month sabbatical given to us on top of our usual, our accumulated vacation time.
I'm definitely working for the wrong people.
So next year I'll be taking 4 or 5 weeks off, and I'll probably, even though it's a lot shorter than what Murray would, you have 18 months or something ridiculous like that.
It was not quite 18.
What was that?
It was not quite 18.
But... I felt like it. For us not having it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the outside looking in, you know, my jealousy is all there.
Yeah. So let's see.
Definitely.
You can get the issues on Comixology too. I don't remember which ones they are, but
I'm sure it's not hard to find. I'm sure I can wander down to the library and
pick up
the Essential X-Men or something, and it'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
They've more than surpassed that point. So if you get like the first uncanny or regular, uncanny X-Men Essentials, or maybe the second one, it's in there.
Yeah, it's in the fifth volume of the Masterworks. I was looking at them today.
So you'll see the same evolution of
Jean Grey.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so there's some arguing, and you see Tony Stark. He's working on stuff. I see some kind of correlation between the Phoenix Force and Wanda's, Scarlet Witch's hex fields, and then Iron Fist and Lei Kung the Thunderer show up in a portal from Kunlun.
How are you not all over that stuff, man? That is straight out of the Iron Fist run that you loved.
Yeah, I know that. I'm wishing. I think I skipped this one and just read 8. I must have missed it. Not that I have anything going on or anything. But it must have been about the time I switched to going full digital from comics, and it's hard to tell what you've read when you don't have a stack. I found that out. The only way to know is look through there and say, well, okay, this says it's new, so I must not have read it. But you got to be careful. If you just glance at it, then it's not new anymore. And then, it is. There's a lot of that in there, and I'm wondering if some of the others, you know, when they do that. But so then it shows a scene. Tony's like comes up with a plan, and that's where they're going to hide is in Kunlun. Then you see a scene with Emma and Namor, and she's smooches on him, which if you remember from the, I believe it was X-Men, Avengers versus X-Men number 1, where he's thinking to, or one of the other tie-ins, he's thinking to himself, he's going to take Cyclops' woman. So here you see that. And she's the master manipulator. So she tells him, I know where... one of the prisoners are. They're in Wakanda, and she says, "I haven't told Scott." What were you gonna say?
Oh, I was just saying it's Hope, isn't it? Like she figured out.
I think it's Hope. Yeah. But he was talking about Transonic, one of theirs. But yeah, she's probably talking about Hope because I can sense her. You know, I can feel her. I know where she is. And they're hiding, and I haven't told Scott. So then you see some talking with the Avengers. They're talking about going over to Kunlun, and about that time, here comes Namor with a big trident, and he's screaming war. I'm surprised he's saying Imperius Rex, but he's got all his Atlanteans attacking Wakanda in that really weird outfit of his.
It, the size of the trident does matter. Okay.
Yeah. So, okay, about that time, and after this, we've got Uncanny X-Men number 15. For those wondering, it even talks about this in the thing, in you're talking about Moonstruck. It even says this in the notes. Black Panther giving Iron Man a semi-friendly slap as means of cajoling, not unlike Shearer slapping Nicolas Cage at Moonstruck. It says it exactly like that. That's funny.
Thank you.
Yes, let's see. Okay, Uncanny X-Men number 15. For those wondering, does one-fifth of the Phoenix free Colossus from his Sidorak possession? The answer, as found in this issue, is no. Let's see. Cyclops, Target Sinister... London as the next stop on his world makeover tour. Okay, whatever. A little bit of public relations stuff. Now, The Marvel Now news sure prompts you to look at AVX in a different light. Talking about Uncanny Avengers, which we talked about a little bit. Our last, was it last episode? Episode two, wait a minute. That was our Avengers episode, yes, which should be coming.
Last week, yeah.
Yes, or last week.
Last week.
Let's see, so they're talking about that. Exchange of the Week. Scarlet Witch says, I'll see what I can do. And Vision says, I cannot suggest any more highly how dismal a notion I find that. Let's see. It should be noted that not only does second act Avengers vs. X-Men artist Olivier Coipel Hope look like an actual teenage girl, as Tony Stark and Captain America have much more realistic bodies as well, which seeing as how the most famous iterations of the characters are now are the movie versions played by real-life humans, seems like a smart choice. Let's see. Danger Unit storyline. Talking about that. Nah, I don't care about that. Avengers have their own prisoner, Transonic, though on the bright side, she gets to hang out with Hope again. Bad things continue to happen to Hawkeye when Scarlet Witch is around. Okay, week number 16, the big hits. Another fight only thing. Their first tie, Daredevil and Psylocke fought in AVX versus number 4, and it was a tie.
In my opinion, the best of those AVX ones.
Really?
The most logical of the ones that,
yes, absolutely,
that don't involve Thing versus Namor, you know?
Yeah, exactly. let's see. New Avengers number 28. 1971's famous Stanford Prison Experiment documented the profound psychological effect that the role of a prisoner or prison guard has on someone. And though Danger has prior experience as the warden of Utopia, she sure seems to have been taking major liberties with her treatment of Spider-Woman, Luke Cage, and Hawkeye, who are imprisoned and forced repeatedly to act out a virtual reality simulation where they narrowly escape, but in fact are in Matrix-esque pods. Not good. Let's see. Oh, and another big revelation. Hawkeye reveals a preference for In-N-Out Burger, at least within the simulation.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, see, that's big news there. Let's see. Wolverine X-Men number 13. They're talking about some Shi'ar stuff. Warbird first appeared. Wolverine X-Men in number 11 without much.
It was actually a great issue. That's the Warbird issue. That was actually a really good single story issue. So. I don't have an affinity one way or the other for Warbird, the current one, but I always thought the old one with the old version was neat. And this is a new, they've kind of made the Warbird, as opposed to a character, it's a rank within the Shi'ar.
Right.
Which maybe it always was, but I always thought it was just, she was Warbird, the sister of Lalandra, or whatever the hell her name was, Charles Xavier's Bird Woman.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
This is just a cool issue about that, you know, how, you know, the warrior race that the Shi'ar, not Shi'ar, the what is that race called, is it the Shi'ar? Yeah,
the with their part like avian.
Yeah, is that the Shi'ar? Yeah. I'm sorry. Just how warrior like they actually are, and they're not. Just good issue, good single issue.
All right,
and very very very. A tenuous tie to this AVX.
Yeah. Let's see. Worth noting, Marvel's Digital. They're going to be another next Infinite Comics release. Will be coinciding with Avengers vs. X-Men number 10, written by Mark Waid, storyboarded, quote unquote, by Balak and illustrated Seth the Star, Iron Man, Scarlet Witch, and Beast. Was Rick Remender showing the seeds of Uncanny Avengers in AVX versus number 4? Both Daredevil and Psylocke's narration ruminates that the Avengers have virtually ignored the X-Men for years, which by all accounts is a major theme of the October debuting series, and what the blended team is taking tasks with rectifying.
Hey, it's Modern Family the comic book.
Let's see.
Sorry.
Let's see. I called myself up. Touched on Cyclops giving Kitty flowers and Wolverine X-Men number 14. Okay, off we go.
Cyclops. That was Colossus giving her flowers.
Colossus, I'm sorry.
Ooh, and that is a messed up issue. Colossus is he is losing it. That was what I was saying like a couple weeks ago, that there was some stuff touched on outside of the main AVX series, Avengers vs. X-Men series, of their kind of decline into being crazy.
And yeah,
sure. That issue right there, Colossus wackoid.
Well, you get an insight, yes, in the main series that he's conflicted, but they don't delve into his character much beyond a couple of word bubbles. So if they're doing that in another issue, that's...
Yeah, he probably got the least amount of play as one of the Phoenix Five, I would say, in the main series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, that this issue where he's trying to win Kitty Pride back, you know, like the readers, he realizes the two of them are meant to be together. But he goes about it just a little bit the wrong way.
Interesting.
You know, threatening to kill people and students and blowing up the school and, you know, little things like that.
You know, yeah, that's probably not going to work.
Yeah, it was almost date rape is what it turned into. So,
ew, not good.
Dear.
That's Colossus. Your painter, sensitive guy.
Yeah. Okay, Avengers vs. X-Men number 8. Brian Michael Bendis returns to the main series to show Namor bring watery war to the Avengers who are hiding out in Wakanda on the way to Kunlun. Turns out that's not good news for Avengers. The people of devastated nation of Wakanda or Namor himself, who ends up losing his Phoenix powers in a battle of wills against the Scarlet Witch. But it's up to little more than a moral victory for the Avengers as Namor leftovers get dispersed amongst the now even more powerful Phoenix Four. Professor X, a fairly passive character in recent years, telepathically threatens Cyclops, who, to his credit, seems pretty uncomfortable with Namor's actions, that if things keep up, he's about to get very, very involved. He tells him, stop or I'll stop you. We want to go through this?
Yeah. The cover to number 8, the one where Namor is busting out of the ground and the Avengers are flying away from him.
Yeah.
For some reason, that seems reminiscent of like some old. It almost seems like a tribute to an old X-Men cover or something.
It probably is.
I'm beginning to wonder: are they all like tributes to other?
There's no new ideas.
Okay, good. What's to say about this issue? It's Wakanda gets really wet, and Namor loses his fifth of the power, or his 20, yeah, his fifth of the power.
Yeah, there's some talking about, yes, and the best part of it is Namor gets his ass kicked. yeah, I think I've read it like 3 times because of that, because you see the whack there, and then Thing gets a smash in, and then there's some, you know, and Red Hulk, and...
Oh, I like the Red Hulk scene.
Yeah.
Oh, the broken
arm? Oh, that's right. He compound fracture. I see that now.
He grabs his thumb and he twists him and flips him over. And
they show the shattered bone right there on the
yeah,
panel.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to – I didn't notice it the first time I looked at it, but yeah. They finally knock him down. Let's see. Scott finds out about the fight. They go there, and Wanda zaps him really good. And they show up right about the time the Phoenix Force comes out of Namor, and then they get it. And they're like, you know, whoosh, holy crap, what was that?
I think one of the other story points that comes up here is they finally end up going to Kunlun or
yeah,
whatever.
Completely, yeah.
Finally end up there after all this talk about it for the last 2 issues.
So. Yeah, and they mention in there that, you know, Vision got dispersed almost in a previous issue, and there he is carrying a Scarlet Witch through the portal, last one through the portal.
Yeah, he you know, despite his feelings, he's like, you know what, I can let her die.
Yeah. So, let's see, what else?
That's just him being passive-aggressive, though. That's like, which, you killed me, but look at this. I'm saving you, even though you killed me. That is him being passive-aggressive all over the place. He's just digging the knife in. He's a dick, that Ooh. Vision. Ugh.
Well, you know.
And then there's that conversation between the Phoenix Four and Xavier, which is...
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the thing. He says, yeah.
I think that was an interesting moment.
That's what I was saying a minute ago.
Oh, yeah.
Stop or I'll stop you.
Yeah.
And yes. Cyclops is like, if you love me, you'll side with me, which is kind of weird, but... It's a father-son relationship.
Yeah. This... To me, this issue... It didn't work for me.
Are you kidding? Neighbor got his ass kicked.
I know, but... it was a good throwdown. It was a good fight, but and Namor taking out Wakanda just to get the Avengers, I was fine with that. That's in his character. That didn't seem out of the ordinary
for Namor.
But the rest of the issue was like, it just wasn't doing what I wanted it to do. Like, the artwork was, it's fine, but there are probably people out there that really like. Is it Andy Kubert that's doing this one?
Yeah, it's one of the Kuberts.
It's Andy, and I'm one of those people, by the way. I thought this issue.
Yeah, like there are there's nothing wrong with it. It just doesn't hit my. You know what I mean? Like it's not my. Yeah.
You like the other guy better. Is what you're saying.
I liked John Romita Jr. This was it's different than those two guys, and I would have preferred the other two guys doing this artwork. But I mean he's. He's one of Marvel's go-to top artist guys, so put him on this for sure, because there's people that like it. I'm just not one of them. So the art was like, meh, for me. But then the story, I was like, it drove me bananas that the Phoenix Five are all about making the world a better place, and I get why the Avengers think, like the Avengers already have that point of view that they're being the Phoenix is corrupting the X-Men, so we've got to stop them. That's the Avengers' point of view. But the world should be looking on the X-Men right now as these wonderful, great saviors. And if Namor goes bananas and takes out a country, I was hoping that Cyclops would have been, I don't know, upset, angry, a little perturbed or something, and instead and you don't even get the sense that the Phoenix Four are sucking the force out of Namor. You just get the sense that since he was smushed, the Phoenix Force has to go somewhere, so it goes back into the other four. Like it's not even them registering their disapproval by removing the Phoenix Force. I don't think. I think it's just
something that Scarlet Witch did made him lose the bond, or something.
Yeah, yeah, but
and it might have been because he was down, so beaten down so far, you know.
Yeah, to me, this is where what up till now had been it could go either way. Like both sides have got good points.
Mm-hmm.
Now the story is very clearly being. If you aren't on the Avengers side yet, you need to be now because the X-Men are not doing anything good. You know, ahead.
No, I was just going to say, going into this whole thing, I mean, it is the Phoenix. It is probably within the comic book community, Marvel's premier, bad guy, you know, most well-known bad guy force. I mean, for lack of a better way of putting it, I mean, just, you know, sure, there's Thanos and there's Doctor Doom and stuff, but when you think of epic, you know, epic stories from Marvel, Dark Phoenix always ends up in the top one or two. Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, you know what? I guess that's true. I totally, having not read it, I completely forget that that the main part of that story there is that it... She was the Dark Phoenix. She was being corrupted. And I don't know. I forget that.
No, and that's cool.
I know she sacrificed herself, but I always think of that as I don't know, more of a Pharaoh lad sacrifice, you know, well, like there's, but what, but Rhea, and it, it kind of is, but at the same time, she's making that sacrifice because she is corrupted.
It,
so
it's, yeah. It's more because her friends / family were being threatened by her, because the whole reason, I'm sure you know the kind of the plot, because the Shi'ar.
Here's what I know.
Yeah.
She eats the broccoli people.
Yeah.
That's bad. She blows up.
Yeah. Well, that's it's kind because of she that, ate the broccoli that's people.
Concise, that's the most concise synopsis of that story.
That's all I know.
The reason she, yeah, see, the fight on the moon is because of the she ate the broccoli people, and that, you know, you get the rest of the gist of it after that. So.
Mm-hmm. But it again, it's this, for anybody going into the series, and I see how, you know, you and others on Facebook and other places would like to have seen, you know, more, you know, of a ambiguity, a balance going all the way maybe to the end of the series, you know, who are you going to side with, who are you going to side with, oh, it could go this way, this issue will go that way, this issue will go this way. Mm-hmm. But going into this, I knew from the beginning that they were all going to, these five characters were going to end up crazy, you know, trying to kill. And I mean,
yeah, and you know what? Cyclops not taking a stronger stand against what Namor did, I guess, is just another step in his corruption.
Well, it might have had something to do with the Phoenix Force from them going to the four of them too. That they, you know.
Yeah, very true. Like, what the direction I was hoping the story was going to go in, it didn't go that direction, and so I kind of had blinders on. So now, having read 8, 9, 10, I think each issue, they're becoming a little more corrupt. So
yeah,
the progression that I was hoping, if I was kind of hoping that I was going to – well, we couldn't have seen it any earlier, I guess. Mm-hmm. They're showing the corruption, which, I mean, that's not the story I wanted to see. But at the same time, they're showing it in little kind of incremental steps, I guess, which is the way you should be doing this story. Like, it shouldn't be they're saving the world one issue and they're banana crazy the next issue. So,
yeah.
Banana crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not my favorite fruit, man.
Oh, I love bananas too. They're delish. They're a crazy fruit. Come on.
Let's see. There's a
they grow upside down, don't they? They do, don't they?
I don't know. What?
I'm sure they grow upside down, don't they? Like, they grow up.
Don't go down. What? Bananas?
Sure they do. I'm sure they do. Look at a banana tree. You'll see the bananas are like curved upwards.
Well, actually,
I'm sure of it.
You might be right, actually.
That's crazy.
Okay.
That does make it crazy. Most things grow down. Gravity goes down. These things are fighting gravity, and they're growing up.
Okay, now.
There you go.
All right.
Whole dissertation on fruit, I'm sure, but
yes. Let's see.
Brought to you by the fine folks at Chiquita.
That's right.
Emma Frost shows up in Avengers Academy number 33.
Great issue again, by the way. Avengers Academy has been the silent crossover star, along with the Wolverine and the X-Men. So, just saying. Go ahead.
Yeah. And apparently she destroys Justin's Sentinel.
Not cool. Not cool. Yeah. Yeah, Murray, maybe you read that old series, the Sentinel kid series that was about
the same. No, you know what? I would have liked it, though.
Yes, you would. You would.
And the Sentinel she killed? She destroyed? Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's no good.
And ironically, they were both. She also had a series at the same time. Her little, Emma as a teenager series.
I do remember that with the snitty covers.
Mm-hmm. So, just a little trivia point that is absolutely no relevance whatsoever. So,
Let's see.
Yes.
Worth noting, much like her sort of father figure Wolverine, it doesn't look like X-23 is eager to join her mutant brethren anytime soon, threatening to kill Emma Frost in Avengers Academy number 33. Let's see. Yeah, that's pretty much the big fuzzies. I thought there was something else there, but I guess not. Let's see. Week 18, Avengers number 28. It's a Red Hulk solo mission with Brian Michael Bendis and Walt Simonson. General Thunderbolt Ross decides he's going to go assassinate Cyclops on Utopia. But then he gets his butt kicked, and he's sent home with an X carved into his chest.
One of the best or worst examples of Bendis doing. I glanced through this issue where he just nothing happens.
Okay, Wolverine and X-Men number 14. Will Colossus and Kitty Pryde find love in a hopeless place? Turns out the answer is no, as a date between the two presented by Jason Aaron and George Miller ends in a disaster. Also, well, that's what you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Iceman, Rachel Gray, and Angel and Moore realize that following Cyclops wasn't such a great idea after all, meaning that most of the X-Men who sided with Wolverine post-schism are back on his way of thinking at this point. Plus, Toad has tea parties with Husk's old skins. That sounds lovely.
You know, and it's funny that they would say that, oh, they're switching sides to side with Wolverine, but they're actually not. I mean, I would think, you know,
they're just not going along with what Cyclops is doing anymore.
With this, but I think, you know, given you know, the normal, quote-unquote, normal course of events, they would still be hanging with the, you know,
Let's see. X-Men Legacy number 270. Speaking of X-Men who sided with Wolverine, or back to his way of thinking, appalled by Magic's limbo prison, Rogue spends this issue by Christos Gage and David Balin doing her best to free longtime rival Ms. Marvel. It's another thing that ends poorly, as by the last page she's given an otherworldly exile for her dissension.
Yeah, this shows that Magic, you know, Magic wants this, by the way.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So, Avengers vs. X-Men number 9. This is a good Spider-Man issue.
A super spider issue.
Yes. In addition to the previously noted victim, Storm and Black Panther's marriage, two more members of the artist formerly known as the Phoenix Five, Magic and Colossus, lost their mega powers this week, thanks to some clever maneuvering on the part of seriously beat down Spidey, which might sound like good news, but of course that means the power of the Phoenixes now have between Cyclops and Emma Frost. And given that Emma is now making house calls to people who committed mutant manslaughter 25 years ago, that might not be the most comforting news to the Avengers and the world as a whole. Luckily, Earth's Mightiest Heroes were able to break out quite a few of their ranks from Magic's limbo prison. Hawkeye, Spider-Man, Woman, Black Widow, Thing, Ms. Marvel, Luke Cage, Quicksilver, and Thor. Worth noting, Storm tells Gambit, Pixie, and Armor to leave Utopia, suggesting even further X-Men deserting the Phoenix Five. Let's see. He says Cyclops does seem upset with neighbors flooding Wakanda, and he generally seems less sinister than the rest of his mates, though given his arrival at Kunlun, yeah, he shows up. We want to go over this one?
You know, there's a couple cool moments in here, like the scene where Emma Frost goes after that guy who accidentally ran down some newly formed mutant with his plane at one point.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I just remember Spidey.
Yeah, she because she's hearing thoughts from all over the world now. I mean, she can't shut them out almost.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now. Okay.
And she goes to this guy's house and, you know, kills him because he killed a mutant many moons ago. The other notable moment is Spidey getting smacked in the face by Colossus and not in fact having a bone driven into his brain.
Yeah, that was something.
Maybe Colossus was pulling his punch.
He might have been.
Even pulling his punch, for goodness sake. I mean, though this was reminiscent, I think, was it Secret Wars when Spider-Man took on all the bad guys?
Yeah.
when he, you know, he's like, you know, I was it Secret Wars?
I think it was, yeah.
Oh, so, well, regardless, it was reminiscent of that, but come on. I mean, he should have been Pulp, you know, much, way earlier, or Pulp, even at the end of it.
Oh, come on now. As much as you enjoy Spider-Man, you know he can take a hit.
Sure, yeah. No, he's Spider-Man. He is, you know, he's Spider-Man. I don't know what else to say on that. I thought it was...
God, you know, I'm looking at this and I don't barely remember any of it.
You totally have to suspend your suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, but we're talking about, you know, dimension hopping people and gods of thunder. Of course we're going to suspend our belief there.
the other thing that I did not like about it, I didn't like the lettering they did with Spider-Man's internal dialogue with the being blood spattered.
Oh.
I got the digital copy, and honest to God, I couldn't read some of the
really?
in those boxes.
Yeah, it was tough. Like unless you.
Oh yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I did it. I did it that part panel by panel.
Okay.
To be able to read it better.
Yeah.
Yeah, he took one hell of a beatdown.
He did. He did. I think it's cool that they took each other out.
Yeah.
Colossus and Magic.
Yeah, I like the way he tricked them into doing that. That's kind of a typical Spidey thing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, he's like the low man. He's low man on the power totem pole of that. So he just says, you know what? There's three of us here. I'm going to have the two big guns take each other out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's clever.
That shows his smarts, too.
It does.
Because he's a lot smarter than a lot of the heroes think, I'm sure.
Well, because he's always a smartass.
Professor X was in that fight?
Yes.
In Limbo?
Yes.
Ah, I see him. He's like some kind of psychic blades. I missed that before.
I'm wondering about... I think they're trying to set Professor X up for a role later on in the series.
Maybe so.
But I think if they are, I think they need to – I think he needs to be in it a little more than he has been. Like if he's going to be the one that – the pivotal person that gets Cyclops to change his mind or sacrifice himself, or if he gets bumped off and that causes Cyclops to do – like either way, mm-hmm. I think there needs to be a little bit more between – Cyclops and Professor X. I think they're building towards something, but I don't know if they've
mm-hmm.
I don't know if they've laid down enough story bits yet.
Yeah, a lot of the story bits, yeah, a lot of those story bits have come from other series, unfortunately. They have not.
Yeah, been. I've noticed that more I'm missing more stuff now that it's, you know.
Yeah, no, it's a shame that they're doing that. I mean, to their credit, a lot of it is referencing here, but it would be nice if we didn't have to go to Newsarama or comic book resources to find out those things that happen between panels.
It sounds like the character bits are happening in other books.
Yeah,
like I think if you're just reading AVX, that's what it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you're just reading the main series, and that's all I'm reading.
Yeah,
it's a pretty straightforward story. You're getting. Like, I'm not having any trouble following it. And if there are minor characters that are in a jail one day and not in a jail another day or like that, that doesn't bother me. I figure that's going on in the background and it's all whatever. It's this background between panel stuff. But some of those character bits, I don't know. Those are the parts I like. But if those character bits are building towards something that's going to,
yeah, have a
payoff in issue 11 or 12, especially between Cyclops and Professor X, I don't know if they've given us enough yet.
Well, this here in the next bit of stuff here for week 20 is it sounds like exactly what you're talking about. That's a bit that isn't in AVX number 10. They're talking about it starts out with a flashback between World War II era invaders, Captain America, Namor. What was that? Anyway, it says, there are, however, plenty of verbal barbs thrown back and forth. Several of them blamed on a bad burrito, Tony Starkate. As the Illuminati reconvene as somewhat desperate move by Captain America. Plus the answer to the question, what side is Reed Richards on during AVX? Looks like, at least for now, he's taking a wait-and-see approach in regards to the Phoenix Five. What the – why? That doesn't make sense. And well, seems sure
– if you read it, he's being really analytical. And he's saying – he's – why does that keep beeping? That's me, by the way. I don't know why.
Somebody beeping
side,
you?
I had a side up that was making that he's saying, look, they're actually not break, you know, at that point in the story.
Yeah, okay.
This is pre them, you know, pre Wakanda.
Yeah. See, I hate it when they do that. It's this happened, you know, 3 days ago or something stupid thing like that. But yeah.
And it's, you know, at that point they are doing good, and Reed Richards is like, well, you know, are we supposed to condemn them for what they might do? And you know, typical Reed Richards. You know,
Reed, woohoo!
I find that odd that he would do that.
He was
but
just stretching the point.
Yeah. one thing that notes here, that this is what you were saying, Murray. She's stretching the point. Professor Xavier has been an unhappy camper throughout AVX, and once again implies that he might, quote unquote, it says in parentheses, very reluctantly take extreme measures to stop the Phoenixes. And it says, quote, I'm prepared to stop Scott no matter what the cost. And it says, foreshadowing? Question mark. That's exactly what you're talking about. It's very possible that that might be what changes his mind, like you're saying. It gets bad enough where he gets just like the ending of X-Men number 3 movie, X-Men 3. Remember that? I hated that movie.
I can honestly say no, I don't remember the end. Is that where he strips, where Wolverine has the all those hypos and he throws them at Magneto or something like that? Or?
No, that's where, you know, she comes back as the Dark Phoenix. Jean Grey, and she pretty much just disintegrates Professor X.
Huh.
And that might be just the thing. But anyway, let's see. Okay, that's noting. Okay, now, on to week 21. This will cover the latest one, Avengers number X-Men number 10, Avengers 29. Oh, yeah, by the way, in case we didn't know, and probably it'll be in the show notes, spoilers, by the way. Way past time for that. This is just this week. Okay, this is the time around. Blah, blah, blah. Sorry. This one just showed up on Newsarama, or I missed it before, so I didn't have it cut and paste, so I got to go through it. Okay, here we go. Avengers versus X-Men number 10. As noted above, Cyclops tears through Kunlun in an attempt to bring an unwilling Hope back to Utopia with him. The Thor thing, Hawkeye, Iron Man, and Iron Fist. Hawkeye, come on. Just be, if it was Batman, he would say, I'm just going to sit back here and let them do this, and I'll do something else to help. But no, he's got to get in there. Anyway, Hawkeye, Iron Man, and Iron Fist are all quickly dispatched. Avengers do have some tricks up their sleeves, like Shao-Lao. Oh, yeah, the dragon that's the source of the Iron Fist energy. That was pretty freaking cool. I enjoyed that. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Anyway, yes, I like the bat showing up. And I thought it very disturbing, the scene on the floating island of Utopia, and Emma is making all of them worship her on their knees.
Yeah, that was creepy.
Very creepy. She seems like the dominatrix type anyway. let's see, where we are we? And the Shao-Lao thing shows up to fight Cyclops. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, that was a good battle.
Hope uses her power to pull off a quote unquote Enter Sandman. That's pretty funny.
A what?
She says Enter Sandman. I'm not real familiar with that song, so. Oh yeah. She's yeah, oh I love that Dragon Breath.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. That's it. Now you've pissed me off.
Yeah, she's she's a you know, she's a power stealer, and I guess, you know, now she's realizing it's not just mutants.
Yeah. Well, unless that was a mutant dragon.
But
mutant
yeah, dragon. It could be.
Because.
Go ahead.
Yeah, she, let's see what it says here. She pulls an Enter Sandman and breathes Dragon's Fire, surprising herself, and is eventually able to send Cyclops bang zoom straight to the moon, where it takes him an hour to recover, seemingly way too much time for I don't know about that. She's got three or four different. She probably used some of his power, too. She actually used the Iron Fist.
Yeah, well, they called it. What was the term? It's the first use of the something that
it was
Phoenix Fist or something. I don't know.
Chaos Fist. It was
the Chaos Fist. That's right.
This hex power with Iron Fist energy together. I read that the first time and I saw it and I didn't like but that's what it was.
Huh. Interesting.
I'm echoing. I was echoing for a second there. But yeah, this was actually one of my favorite of the series so far.
It was actually really good.
Yes. But again, there's a lot of character development, and I know they can't put everything in this. I get that, yeah. But they don't really explain who that I don't even know what his name is. The guy who was riding the dragon with Hope. That's not explained anywhere in Avengers versus X-Men who that guy is.
Hold on, let me look. That's the Thunderer.
Right.
But who's that? Like, what is that to the Marvel universe? Well, you know, like if
in here off and on.
He's been in the story off and on for sure, but.
No explanation to who he is.
I don't know what he is or what he can do or.
Those early New Avengers issues covered
see?
All that.
See? Outside of the major.
Right. You're right.
And absolutely. That was an incredibly Bendis-esque issue of nothing happening in a long period of time. That was my first Bendis rant, by the way, just to put context around it. But
yeah, he's definitely over the.
We don't know who that character is. We don't know where he gets a dragon. I mean, he shows up with a dragon. Yeah.
Well, it made perfect sense to me, but I of all the Marvel universe, except for maybe Spider-Man, I'm most well versed in that character than even the X-Men. I would say.
I read that whole series too, though, Chris, and I didn't remember the dragon part. I mean that was 3 or 4 years ago. So
that's where the. You know, the power comes from. They have to fight that dragon.
And they give that context in the story, in this particular issue. But again, who's the Thunderer, you know, and it was very, what's the word I'm looking at? It was a mulligan. It was just.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Yeah, like there are some, like they introduced a whole lot of X characters. At least on the introductory pages, they'd say all these X characters are in the book. But it didn't matter if you didn't know who they were because they were just background cannon fodder. You know what I mean? Like they were running around the panels, but it doesn't matter if you don't know who Danger is or who dude with the gun and the face mask is. Like it doesn't matter. They're just, you know, they're X-Men, they're mutants, and that's all you need to know. This Thunderer guy looks like he's got a more important role in the story than some of those background X characters, so it probably would have benefited to throw like a page of like within AVX 1 to 10, give me a page of his importance or his history or his whatever. If he's going to be an important part of the story,
they could have done 2 panels of Iron Fist and him talking, you know,
yeah, about history
and damn. I mean, and again, Paige would be cool. I agree, you know.
Yeah, speaking character beats, I like that. You know, I'm looking at the page where Captain America is talking to Xavier. Apparently, in Avengers number 29, as this issue shows the other side of Wolverine in the X-Men number 12, with the Avengers looking to mitigate the X-Men telepathic advantage, the issue shows Professor X's role in the mission, who states that his dream is, quote-unquote, all but dead. Also, Hawkeye nixes calling Moondragon for help on account of awkwardness. Interesting.
I thought there's actually a really cool panel in that issue, and this, again, it's Bendis writing, for Christ's sake, but it's got this panel showing all of the telepathic characters in the Marvel Universe.
They're talking about that.
They're all freaking mutants.
are they? Oh, that's right there. They are mutants, aren't they?
They're all mutants.
Let's see. In both issues this week, we see Professor Xavier continuing to get himself actively involved. And there's a link here. It says, which is widely speculated, seems nearly destined not to have a happy ending for the guy. I think that's what we've talked about already. And it says that Captain America and Xavier seem to be getting close enough that Cap might even be prompted to start of a team to defend mutant rights in case anything happened to Xavier. A group of Uncanny Avengers, maybe. Interesting. It's not just a Marvel event series if the Watcher doesn't show up, which he did. Line of the week. I like that, too. Cyclops upon smacking down Thor, Thing, and Hawkeye, and he says, how's that for clobbering time? Yeah, I like that. I'm sorry. Yep.
And by the way, just as a, crap, as a side note, if someone doesn't die at the end of the series, I will be... It sounds sad. It sounds kind of morbid, but I'll be disappointed.
As high as the stakes are, I have to agree with you. I mean, that to make this actually mean something, even though they probably won't, you know, stay dead. But, you know, there's Emma Frost and Cyclops going to throw down next. And let's see, there's the Infinite comic attached to this. It was interesting.
Boring.
Yeah, nothing happened. It was interesting.
And it wasn't even cool. The panel transitions weren't even cool.
No, it's just a regular comic. You couldn't they effed up the what Wade's trying to do. If you looked at his thing on Thrillbent, oh crap, and I can't remember the name of it. I always do that. It's one of those Insufferable, that's it. His Insufferable strip on there, that's more like that first Infinite, where when you click the next, there'd be like one panel's like slightly different, you know, like the other one was.
What I'm finding is when the Infinite comic is attached right at the end of an issue, the panel transitions never work the way they want them to. But if the comic is a separate beast or a separate book, then the transitions, at least on my iPad, seem to work the way they're supposed to. But I haven't been able to make them work properly if it's just extra pages attached to the original digital book. Like, I think if you were to spend the $1.99, or whatever it is, and bought that Infinite AVX number 10 on its own, then the panel transitions might work properly, but I don't know that you want to spend the money for the
It's not worth it, really.
And I'm looking at the panels again right now, and there's nothing about them where there's that like what Chris was just mentioning about, you know, the one panel kind of fading into the next panel. It doesn't strike me that there's anything in this issue, barring like maybe the opening sequence, and even that's questionable. But maybe you're right. Maybe it's just the way it's in the same exact format as the main issue. Maybe there's something about the coding or
I don't know. I think there are a couple of points where they meant to use it or where it's supposed to be used, like the pages where. I think there's a page where you see Scarlet Witch's face, and then all around her there are other faces, maybe blue faces or something, and, mm-hmm. and then you click and swipe or something, and there's word bubbles that appear. There are a few places where I think, oh, this is where there's supposed to be a neat transition, and it's not happening, but...
I see what you're talking about. I just opened up the number 6 with Cyclops, where he's mm-hmm. on the moon, and he resurrects her. I can see resurrects Jean Grey up there.
Yeah.
I'm clicking through it. It does look like it's supposed to.
But getting back to the actual story of that infinite, they forgot about Hope. Holy crap.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, they were just trying to protect her.
Oh, yeah, we just spent the last 2 weeks, getting our butts kicked to protect this one girl. Oh, and we forgot about her.
And the only reason they're in Kunlun is because they're protecting Hope. Like, the only reason they're in the actual physical environment that they are in is because of this little red-haired girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that seems...
I thought that kind of odd, too.
And I can see, maybe as, on a battlefield, her first focus is going to go to Thor, Wolverine, and Captain America. But for goodness sake, I mean, it's the whole point of that machine was to delve into her subconscious or her conscious and whatever. I was actually irritated by that story point.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I'm irritated again, all over again. Damn it.
Don't do that.
I'm sorry, I can't.
Baby powder, that helps with irritation.
Well, okay now.
Maybe some Gold Bond. I don't know.
I am speaking from personal experience.
I will take your word for it.
Once, when I was starting to run, I chopped my nipples. So yeah, I know what you're talking about. Sorry.
Oh, ouch. Yow. I don't
even know how to respond to that.
There's no need to respond. It's
okay, all right then.
It's a great episode of The Office.
Maybe you need a little bit looser shirt.
Oh, no, that was exactly
loose is the problem. It rubs it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Never had that problem.
Tighter shirt.
Whole episode of The Office where they're having a 5K at the Ed Helms character. Bloody nipples, so.
Oh, my God. Sure you say something like that. Oh, man. I'm glad I'd already eaten. So I think we just pretty much covered it.
Everything. We totally did, and now we have to wait 4 weeks.
Oh, yes, 4 whole weeks.
Yes,
we'll just save all of them up. That's what kind of some of this is like. Oh wait, I haven't read that yet, so I need to read it real quick right before we record.
Go
ahead.
Was that always in the plan? Because I saw that 4 weeks thing, and I felt.
Oh, wait.
I don't know.
The next issue is not coming for a month?
It's not coming until September 12th.
Really?
Yeah.
So that,
I'm calling BS on that.
So this biweekly series is taking a break, which, I don't know. I mean, I know Blackest Night did it and something else did it. Flashpoint, maybe, did they do it? I don't know.
No. There
have been a couple of series that have had, like, a break in the middle there for a month, but I always think that's just cheap.
Well, they want that. This is a shipping issue. If this story's done, that now they got it. They got it just like they did with Flashpoint and Justice League number one. I don't know what issue is supposed to coincide with issue 12 of this. I mean, my guess is it's probably Uncanny Avengers. But oh my God! I mean, Justice League number one, the biggest thing to come out last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a timing issue. It came out the exact same time as Flashpoint number 5. And they're gonna. Marvel's not stupid.
Interesting.
Yes. They can't have any lag time between the end of the series and when their new thing starts up.
Well, hell, I'll be forgotten all about it by 4 weeks.
But
I don't think Marvel now is kicking off right. Or is it? Maybe it is. I don't know. Because it sounds like they've got a whole bunch of,
if I'm not mistaken,
little miniseries coming after AVX. Like.
Well, I think there's one of Aftermath, but if I'm not mistaken,
there's.
I think if I'm not mistaken, the first Marvel Now stuff comes out in October.
They're going to drag this out. They're going to blow it. They learn nothing from DC's deluge. We talked about
It's like, let's just renumber everything. And then, you know, that's what they're thinking.
They're not going to kick up their market share doing this. At least on the surface, it doesn't appear that way.
I don't think so, no. Though I am probably going to pick up Uncanny Avengers. I'm not sure about the rest of them.
Right. It's gonna come down to price point for me. If they're $3.99 and a floating page count, then I'm out.
Like, yeah.
If they can guarantee $3.99 and a lot of pages,
yeah.
Like more than 20, more than 22,
yeah,
I might look at some. But
I like how in these little things here they kept. This has got two more pages than it's supposed to. I'm like, so? Mm-hmm. You know? Anyway.
Did anything happen in those two pages? Or was it just because of the fact they threw a lot of two-page spreads in?
Yeah.
I don't want to turn this into a Marvel bashing thing, because I think that this has actually been... I think we can all agree that as a pure superhero smash 'em up thing, it's actually been pretty cool.
Yeah.
No, I've actually enjoyed it.
You know what? In terms of two-page spreads and stuff, there were a lot more at the very beginning of AVX. Like, I remember the first issue or two, I was gnashing my teeth at the number of double-page spreads and splash pages, and I don't remember having as many of those in the last couple of issues.
So are you for or against them? I'm confused.
And those were the Romita Jr. Those are the Romita Jr. issues. And he doesn't do as tight of pencils as Copil and Kubert do. So they can fit a lot more into a panel than JR. But
yeah,
I generally see.
If the big two-page splash is just an explosion and there's no words, then I feel gypped. If it's a big splash, like Coppel can do a big splash page. And there's still a lot going on. Like there's little mini panels around the border, and there's still story being told. But the beginning of AVX had I just seem to remember a lot of pages where there was big explosions or close-ups and not a whole lot of story advancement.
The helicarrier two-page spread, and from maybe there's one or two.
Yeah, there's that one. I know there were a couple of explosions and stuff, but again, like as the series has progressed, we haven't had those. Like they've been packing their 20 pages mm-hmm. with story. So
it's just a sock, I swear.
All right,
but I would say you know, leading into a big change, I actually prefer this over Flashpoint. So
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I could go with that.
I had forgotten that Flashpoint even happened a year ago. Like, at this point last year, Flashpoint was wrapping up, and I'm clueless.
Well, I think for me, I think the reason for me why I agree with you, though, is because going into it, we weren't 100% sure what was going to happen, and then we found out in the middle of it, and there was that bad taste in your mouth, kind of, that they were rebooting everything, at least for me.
Well, kind of a bad taste, but also kind of so the next 3 months are a what-if story.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
No, that makes sense.
And the thing about AVX is they've been touting that this is going to change everything we know about the Marvel Universe. Whereas when we first got Flashpoint, I don't think that they said that until actually the series had actually started. They said, by the way, you're going to blow your mind what's going to happen at the end. How many times have we heard that? And then they start trickling out the news. Whereas with this, it feels like we've known, you know, there's going to be a new Avengers team, there's going to be a new X-Men team, et cetera, et cetera. Now, some of these creative teams, that's news, but I kind of lost my train of thought, but overall, I agree with you, Murray. Flashpoint, completely forgettable, whereas this, I don't think I'm going to forget this soon.
No, I don't think so.
No, it's like the...
Like we said earlier, though, I wish they'd done more character points in the actual issues. And some of the stuff, as it's gone on, it seems like more important things are in the side issues than it was when it started.
Yep. Yep. Agreed.
So, anyway.
Yes. And I'm curious how they're... I mean, given how little involvement the Fantastic Four has had in this series, how they're going to tie the reboot of future reason to it.
Okay. You're back. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I was just saying, given how little involvement the Fantastic Four has had in this series, how they're going to tie that into the reboot. So
that's a good point.
I need to put my kids to bed.
Okay, that's fine. We've covered it all. Let's see. Let us know what you think about this episode. And Robin, we will get to your email soon.
Next week.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Podcast at talesfromthelongbox.com. Comments, feedback, whatever you want. What kind of stuff you want to do. Your Avengers list from, last week, Robin gave us his JLA. You can talk to us on Facebook. Just do a little search for talesfromthelongbox.com. You can comment on the actual episodes at talesfromthelongbox.com/the-show. And that's it.
Echo, fun.
That was awesome. I laughed so hard. Oh man. Anyway. That's it for this week.
You will be able to hear our episode of interviewing the Legion of Substitute Podcasters on their show coming up soon here, I think.
Coming up soon, yes, exactly. Yes.
So if you want to hear it again.
Yes, in case you missed it the first time, they might put a different spin on it. Who knows? Yeah. But anyway, that's about it. Okay. So we'll talk to you next time.
Guys, good night. I'm going to bail real quick here. I'll catch up with you over the week.
All right. Catch you later.
Bye.
Bye.